بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Previously we spoke about some of the events that took place in the month of Shawwal, and as we enter into the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, some of the major events that historically took place in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah we have talked about before. For example, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, and we went into that in great detail, and also Bayatul Rizwan, where the Prophet ﷺ took allegiance, and we referred to that just yesterday when talking about Uthman radiallahu ta'ala an. But the incident I want to speak about today is actually Umratul Qadha. This Umrah has a few different names that the Prophet ﷺ performed. Some scholars call it Umratul Qadha, which means a compensational Umrah, because the Prophet ﷺ didn't do it in the previous year due to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. He now has to do Qadha of the Umrah. And this actually brings a small fiqh ruling that when a person starts something that is not mandatory upon them, but then they don't complete it, it now becomes mandatory for them to do a qadha of that. So for example, if a person were to start a fast, but it's a nafl fast, it's a sunnah fast, but then they don't complete it, they have to break it for some reason, then the qadha of that becomes mandatory upon this person. Again, this is the opinion of some of the scholars. And here the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he took on Umrah in the previous year, in the year number 6 of Hijrah, and he wasn't able to do so because of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, that's why scholars call this Umratul Qadha. This is also called Umratul Qisas. And the Qisas is a penalty. And the reason why, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the previous year had put on the Ihram and brought the animals to sacrifice, but then left the state of Ihram. So now a penalty is put on that you have to complete because you exited the state of Ihram without performing the Umrah. It's also called Umratul Qadhiya, and that is based off of the Qadha of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was his Qadha that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't do it the previous year. And through the Qadha of Allah, the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did it in this year. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed Umrah 4 times. Throughout his life, he performed Umrah 4 times. The first of these 4, scholars say the first one is actually the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Even though the Prophet ﷺ technically did not perform the Umrah, but because he made the intention and made the journey, that's why scholars write it down, that this is, it counts as one of the Umrahs. And this comes from the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ says that a person who makes the intention of doing a good deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes down the reward for that. And then when he actually follows it up and does it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him another reward. On the other hand, the hadith carries on that when a person makes the intention of a bad deed to commit a sin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the angels, hold off, don't write anything yet. And then if that person actually does it, then they get one sin written down for them. And if they don't do it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the angels write a good deed down. And this hadith is brought by Imam Nawawi rahmatullah alayh in his collection of 40 hadiths. So this is the first Umrah. The second Umrah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performs is actually Umratul Qadha. So the first is Hudaybiyah. The second is Umratul Qadha. The third is at the time of Fatah Makkah. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, during Fatah Makkah, he didn't perform Umrah. This Umrah is called Umratul Jirana. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ, after they went and dealt with Taif, Rasulullah ﷺ, we spoke about this last year, that he went to Jirana and he performed his Umrah from there. And the fourth and final Umrah that Rasulullah ﷺ performs is during Fatah Makkah. When the Muslims came to conquer Makkah to Mukarramah, Rasulullah ﷺ, before leaving, he performs Umrah. As he enters, he only performs Tawaf, but then as he's leaving, he performs Umrah there. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Madinatul Munawwarah, he calls to the companions, said that anybody that came to Hudaybiyah, come and perform Umrah. Why? Because it's qadha on you as well. And then this invitation was put out to anybody else, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Muslims, they traveled with 2,000 companions to perform Umratul Qadha. Now, keeping in mind that this journey takes, it's a 400-kilometer journey. And it probably took them weeks to, you know, reach Makkah al-Mukarramah. As the Prophet ﷺ got closer to Makkah, the people of Makkah sent a message to Rasulullah ﷺ that, remember the conditions. The conditions were that you can come, but you are only to stay for 3 days. That's it. And at the same time, you have to keep your weapons in their sheaths. And they're only allowed to bring weapons of travel. Now, as a precaution, and this shows you the farsightedness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells the companions, when they were preparing for this umrah, to bring their weapons of war as well. To bring their armor, to bring their spears, to bring their swords. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't take it into the haram. There was a station close by. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had the weapons secured there. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, we don't know what can happen. And we have to take our precautions. And this teaches a great lesson that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling you, that you do your part. You have to plan. You have to keep all the variables in mind. That any time they can attack, any time something can go wrong in your life, and your job is to prepare and plan. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, he had those weapons brought, but he didn't take it into Makkah al-Mukarramah. Why? Because they were contractually not allowed. And even from the Quraysh side, when the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims came close, they were not happy that the Muslims were coming to perform Umrah, but the Prophet ﷺ sent a message that, look, contractually you have to let us come and you have to let us perform Umrah. And they said, okay, we'll come. You will have 3 days. And some narrations make mention that a lot of the people that came, a lot of the Quraysh in Mecca, they left Mecca. Why? Because they didn't want to see that the Muslims are now empowered in their city. And from this is Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala. And as the Prophet ﷺ is performing his Umrah, he asks Khalid bin Walid's brother, Walid bin Walid, he says, where's Khalid? He goes, I don't see Khalid. And Walid, he then writes a letter to Khalid, saying that the Prophet ﷺ, he particularly asked about you. And he said that if Khalid were to join us, he wouldn't have to start at the bottom, but we would give him his position that he deserves. And Walid, he tells his brother, look, it's about time. Just look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's so many people here, but he particularly asks about you, that why, you know, for you to perform, for you to, you know, come into Islam. Now, one of the things that the Quraysh actually pointed out, and they said, look at the Muslims, they're coming to perform Umrah, and they're weak, they're frail. And because of this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he points out a few masail that we still use in our Hajj and Umrahs today. Right? Later on, when Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, he becomes Khalifa, somebody asks Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, that why do you still perform these things whereas we don't need to? And the Umar radiallahu ta'ala an says, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us, even though we don't need to, we will still follow that sunnah. Now, these things that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam instructs the Muslims to do, it's to show that the Muslims are powerful. They're not weak. Because what did the Quraysh say? That they're weak. They're frail. We can attack them. We can do this. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the first things that he says to the companions is that when you perform your umrah, take your ihram and put it underneath your right shoulder. And this is to show like a warrior, you know, that we're strong. So this is ittiba. And anybody that performs Umrah in Ihram, they perform Umrah in this way. The second thing the Prophet ﷺ tells the companions, to do Ramal. And Ramal is in the first three rounds, and this is to walk with a bit of swagger. To stick out your chest, not to be humble. So there are times that a person should be humble. But there's a time, we talked about this before, when we talked about the companion before the battle of Uhud, that the Prophet ﷺ told him, let him do his thing, let him, you know, put on his show, to show the hype. So Rasulullah ﷺ, he instructs the companions to walk with a little bit of swagger, to stick your chest out, to let them know that, don't mess with us. The third thing that Prophet ﷺ instructs the companions is that when you go between Safa and Marwa, in the middle gap, to run and to go fast. And again, all three of these instructions were for the men that were performing Umrah with Rasulullah ﷺ. So these three rulings that we even use today, it comes from Umratul Qadha, this Umrah. And the purpose was to show the Quraysh that the Muslims are not weak. The Prophet ﷺ, he performed his Umrah while on the camel Qaswa. So he rode his camel, so Umrah al-Qadha, he rode on the camel Qaswa. Now one of the things to keep in mind is the companions, they actually just came from this long journey, and it's not like, you know, they got to their hotel rooms, rested up, showered, and you know, they're in the Zamzam clock tower, and then Aram said go and perform Umrah, or they flew in with Ittihad or Emirates or Qatar Airlines. You know, it was a tough journey. So even for the Prophet ﷺ to tell them to do Ramal at this time was actually a task. It wasn't that easy. They were tired. And the Prophet ﷺ is saying that you don't walk a little bit fast and run between these mountains. And this shows you the dedication that the companions had with the Prophet ﷺ. Now as for the Prophet ﷺ riding Qaswa, some people say that the Prophet ﷺ rode Qaswa. Why? Because at this time, number one, the Prophet ﷺ was 60 years old. He wasn't young. He had performed this long journey. But on top of that, Rasulullah ﷺ is showing that this is also permissible. If somebody cannot walk, if somebody is tired, then you can use a wheelchair. You can use other means to perform your Umrah. And this comes from the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ. And as the Prophet ﷺ walks past Hajar Aswad, he uses his stick and touches Hajar Aswad. And this gives us the ruling that if you're not close enough, you can have it. You can do istilam of Hajar Aswad from a distance. But later on in the other umrahs that the Prophet ﷺ performs, Fatah Mecca, Umrah al-Jirana, Rasulullah ﷺ goes and kisses Hajar Aswad that time. One of the last thing I want to point out here is as the Prophet ﷺ was performing Umrah, Abdullah bin Rawaha, who was holding the reins of Qaswa, he began to recite poetry. And the poetry was, Quraysh, take a seat. Watch us. And the Prophet ﷺ says, don't say this. But rather, you know the takbir that we read during Eid, this actually comes from Umratul Qadha. And some scholars say that it happened again during Fatih Mecca. That the Prophet ﷺ instructs the companion, say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Then the hearing on that sadaqa wa'da wa nasara abda, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has fulfilled his promise. Why? Because in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals that إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَدْ. The one who revealed the Quran upon you will return you back to your origin, Makkah al-Mukarramah. So sadaqa wa'da wa nasara abda, and he has helped his servant. وَهَزَّمَ الْأَحْزَابَ وَحْدًا, and he has, you know, strengthened and gave power to this army. And this was recited from there and all the companions as they performed their tawaf. And again, the companions, as they came into Makkah, they were reciting the talbiyah of labbaik Allahumma labbaik. And as they were performing tawaf, they recite the takbirah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructs. On the third day, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he marries Umm al-Mu'mineen Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha. And Umm al-Mu'mineen Maymuna radiallahu ta'ala anha, again, there's a lot of links. You know, her family is like, I call it the MVP sisters. Because all of the sisters of Umm al-Mu'mineen Maymuna radiallahu anha, they got married to, you know, one was married to Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anha, the other was married to Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here he marries Umm al-Mu'mineen Maymuna radiallahu anha. And at the third day, the Quraysh actually send a message to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your time's up, leave, get out. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, look, we only overstayed, why? Because of the walima, of the nikah that I have performed. And after this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims, they returned back. So this was the story of Umratul Qadha. Again, we learn a lot of our masail of Hajj and Umrah from this incident, and it takes place in the 7th year of Hijrah in the month of Dhul-Qadha. We make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the ability to visit his house. And this is like a little bit of a touchy subject because of the news that we received 2 days ago. The news that we received 2 days ago was that, you know, travel agents can no longer take Hujjaj to perform Umrah. And for me, it's a really tough, you know, it hurts, you know, because alhamdulillah, I've been given the opportunity to perform Umrah from 2009 until the beginning of COVID. And this year I had full intentions to perform Umrah, but Hajj. But now this new rules and regulations have came out where there'll be no group leaders taken from here. There'll be no group travel agents that will take Hujjaj. Rather, it'll be done through a portal, and also that it's through a lottery system. So I don't mean to be very political, just to let you know that what's going on. And that too, so no group leaders, agents from America. It will be through their portal, and that will be through a lottery system. So you might get selected, you might not get selected. And on top of that is anyone that's performed Umrah in the past 5 years, of course, excluding the last 2 years of COVID, is not allowed to sign up for Hajj. So it's a little bit touchy subject that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala return us to his house. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The price is ridiculous. The price is, khair. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open the doors back up for everybody to visit. Yes? Hajj. Yeah, so Umrah, alhamdulillah, that's continuous. You know, if you perform Umrah, you can still go. Umrah, they actually made it a little bit easier because now they give you a tourist visa, and that's for a full year, and you can go, alhamdulillah, as much as you like. You know, I know Mahbub Bhai has been, mashallah, twice this year. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from him. But man, we make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returns us back to the holy blessed city of Makkah to Mukarramah, as well as the city of Madinah to Munawwarah. Inshallah, this gives us a chance to be here during this time, and we will relive the journey of Makkah and Hajj together as a community. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.